Okay, turn in your Bibles to Philemon chapter 1. We're continuing in a sermon series called Mended over the New Testament book of Philemon. If you haven't been in the past few weeks, or if you just need a refresher, what's going on in this sermon series, the book of Philemon is an interesting book. It's a book about Paul's attempt to steward a repair of a broken relationship between Philemon, his friend that he's writing a letter to, and Onesimus, who was a runaway slave of Philemon, who has come into contact with Paul, has become a Christian through his ministry, and Paul wants to send Onesimus back to Philemon so they could be joined back together. And so what we're doing over this whole month is looking at the book of Philemon section by section, spending as much time as we can in this short book, and then looking at how this relationship was mended and how our broken relationships that we have in our lives can be mended as well as God works in our lives. So let's read from verses 12 through 16. This is the second part of the major theme of this book, or the major context of the book. So read in verse 12 through 16 with me. Paul says, "I'm sending him," which is Onesimus, "who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord." Let's pray as we hear from God's word this morning. God, we rejoice in this morning. We rejoice in this opportunity to worship you, to say thanks for all the great things that you've done in our lives, how you've rescued us from sin, how you hear our prayers and you work in our lives and you conform us into your perfect will. So God, this morning, as we once again meditate on the text of Scripture, we thank you that you've taken up these words, this mere correspondence from Paul to his friend Philemon. You've taken up these words and you're leading your church through them. And so, Lord, this morning we open up our hearts and minds. We ask God that you'd speak to us. And that as we need your help to hear you this morning, you would allow us to hear from you in a unique way for our lives and for us corporately as a church. But in all these things, God, we desire your presence through the preaching of the word so that we might become the people conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and all of God's people said, amen. As I was doing my research and my study and my preparation over this text, I was struck by how many levers that one has in these five verses. Whenever I was in preaching class in seminary, there's different techniques and there's different philosophies of preaching. But my preaching professor said, he's of the opinion that there should be one major theme that you capture for your message, because even those who pay the most attention in your crowd will not remember 3 points of any sermon, but they may remember one thing. And so I hope that he doesn't dial into this sermon, because there's going to be several things that I would like to cover this morning. So let me just go through them bit by bit and we'll just crawl through the text together. And I want to share a few things that come from this passage. The first one is this, is that in this passage, in this section, we see the depth of the love that Paul has for Onesimus. What we see in verse 13 is, or actually in verse 12, that Paul gives him quite an honor for a name in verse 12. He says, "I am sending him, Onesimus, who is my very heart, back to you." Paul seems to look at Onesimus as his child, as his son. I remember when Ginger and I were preparing to receive Avery, our first kid, into the world and become parents officially. Someone came to us with a ton of advice. We had a ton of advice always. But this one person came to us, and when we asked them, what does it mean to be a parent? This person said, being a parent is like experiencing your heart walking around outside of your body. And we've no doubt experienced that. Now, there are times that those, you know, representations of our hearts walking outside of our body have frustrated us, of course. Those type of things happen. But day after day, there are profound, pregnant moments as parents that Ginger and I have where we're so thankful and we would do just about anything for that bundle of joy. In the same way, as Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, he's not just sending an acquaintance. He's not just sending back a real cool guy that he knows, but he's sending his very heart back to Philemon. It's almost as if Paul looks at Onesimus as his son. This would not be unique for Paul. Paul, and there are several times in his New Testament correspondences that we have in Scripture where he calls other people his sons. He calls Timothy his dear son and many others in the New Testament text. And so Paul loves Onesimus. He cherishes his presence. It must be painful for Paul to even come around to the idea of sending Onesimus back to Philemon because he's going to miss his presence. We see this also in verse 13. He says, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while in chains, while I'm in chains for the gospel. So it's not just Onesimus is a cool guy and someone that Paul loves, but Onesimus is actually helping Paul in the ministry. That word, the verb in this verse 13 for helping is the same word where we get the term for a deacon within the church. A deacon in that first century context would be someone who's not just a regular churchgoer, but someone who's elevated from just the regular churchgoer and is doing some helpful things around the church to help the others who are in ministry. And so Onesimus is not just a person who he enjoys spending time with in the church. But Paul has perhaps seen ministry gifts in Onesimus. He sees great potential. And he has a high honor for Onesimus. And so as he's sending him back to Philemon, no doubt is he going to miss him because he's in relationship with him. But he's also missing someone who is working with him in the ministry. This word for deacon, as we've covered before in an earlier sermon, is the idea of a waiter in this first century. So if you and I were to go to a restaurant today, let's say we went to Texas Roadhouse or something like that, you can bet that the majority of our impression of Texas Roadhouse comes from the service that we get from our waiter or our waitress. They're the very face of the restaurant to us. So what Paul is actually saying here is that Philemon's helping him in the gospel while he's in chains, and Philemon is becoming the face of his ministry. Now let's be reminded of something here. What role does Onesimus play outside of the church? He's a slave. He's not even a citizen in the Roman Empire. He's a nobody. All he is worth to anyone else is labor towards their economic ends. But he's made his way into a community of people who call upon Jesus. And when he makes his way into this community, he's no longer known as that menial servant that he is mentioned in the Roman Empire. But he's a person of high honor in Paul's presence. You and I have heard stories like this before, people who have had a hard life, who've made poor decisions perhaps, and they've messed up and they've had some issues and situations in their life. But when they meet Christ, something happens in them and they get around a group of people who don't hold them in that identity any longer, but they allow them to have a fresh start, a fresh identity, and they lift them in high honor. This is what's happening in the life of Onesimus, that he's in this crowd, this Roman Empire, and people look through him. People don't even know his name. They might hit him with the back of their hands. But when he's around the community and the people of God, all of a sudden he takes on a brand new form, a brand new function, and a brand new identity. And that's why Paul holds him in such high honor. My dream for us is at Faith Community Church that we would have the same type of experience. That people who exist, as we're kind of doing our lives outside of our church community, people may know us for some of these things, but when they make their way into our church community, that we don't hold them to what everybody else is saying about them, but we hold them in the image of what God sees them. That we'd be a community of restoration and comfort and mercy and healing. And that is definitely what we see in the life of Onesimus. He had nothing going for him. He was a runaway slave. He had a bounty on his head. But when he bumped into Paul and this group of people who had a different framework for life, everything changed. And my hope is that as new folks come into our community and as new people begin to discover Jesus, that they would have the same experience among us as the people of God, that they're not held in their former way of life, but they're given the chance and the mercy and the grace to discover who they've always been called to be. But let's be honest, sometimes in the church, that simply doesn't happen. But my prayer is your pastor is that we be a community that operates in different rhythms, that truly believes that mercy triumphs over judgment, and that lives can truly change and go in a different direction. This seemed to be the experience of Onesimus as he bumped into Paul and his comrades. What we also see in this section of Scripture, though, is the exact opposite. On the one hand, we see this high honor and this high praise for Onesimus, but what we see also in verse 13 is some pain that Paul has with Philemon. Notice something, we could skip over it if we read it too quickly, but Paul wants Onesimus to stay with him for a certain reason, because in verse 13, Paul's plans for Onesimus is that Onesimus would take the place of Philemon in helping him with the gospel. Now, there's not a lot of evidence to maybe suggest what Paul is getting after there, but he does use a language, perhaps something like this is happening. Perhaps Philemon used to help Paul in the work of the gospel. Philemon used to be with Paul as he was ministering to people. Perhaps even Philemon, he promised Paul that he would be with him in the long term. But he's not any longer. There's a space that needs to be filled. And so Paul is tempted to have Onesimus take that place. And so as Paul is writing to Philemon, perhaps Paul's experiencing some deep pain. Because the last time they talked about such matters of the gospel and helping one another, Philemon said he was going to promise to be with me. But he's not. But what I love about Paul is that he seems to bury these painful things. Because what we see in verse 14 is a different reaction to what maybe you and I would have if we broke a promise with the Apostle Paul or with anybody else. Because what we see in verse 14 is that though Paul wants Philemon to embrace Onesimus as a brother in the Lord, no longer as a slave, what does Paul do again in verse 14 that he's already said he wants Philemon to do earlier in the story? He wants Philemon to choose it on his own. Verse 14 says, I do not want to do anything without your consent. So that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Once again, Paul's got the authority as the apostle to strongly urge Philemon to do this. But once again, he resigns the right to make Philemon do this. He says, I want your consent. I want you to do this voluntarily. It's up to you. But wait a second. Philemon just hurt Paul's feeling in the past. He's not following through on his promises. Someone needs to take his place in the ministry because perhaps he's left Paul. Paul still humbles himself. He lowers himself. He says, I still want your consent. I still want you to volunteer for this. It's not something I want to take for myself. But I want you to make your choice on your own. Now, I'm going to strongly encourage you, but I want you to make the decision yourself. Because ultimately what we see here is that, and this is something that Paul drives Philemon to see, is that what's at stake in this situation is not only for Philemon's relationship with Onesimus to be restored and relationship with Paul to be restored, but the gospel and its proclamation in their community is what is at stake here. You'll notice in verse 15, Paul tries to widen the lens of the situation. As Philemon is thinking about Onesimus coming back to him, he's probably got some thoughts of what he could and could not do. He probably has some animosity and anger towards Onesimus, but Paul widens the lens. He says this in verse 15, perhaps the reason Onesimus was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. As Paul is giving his appeal, as he's trying to help Philemon work through his struggle, work through his pain because of Onesimus's previous choice, Paul says, you know, maybe this is all happening. Maybe Onesimus ran away from you. Maybe God's going to take up this situation. And he's using it for a reason. That you've lost him for a little bit, but you're going to have him back forever. Maybe something else is at stake here. The gospel is at stake here. The gospel is the proclamation that God in Christ is reconciling and redeeming and fixing all the world. But not just all the world, he's fixing us. So perhaps God is even taking up this little situation, Philemon. He's gone from you for a little bit. You're experiencing pain, bewilderment, and despondency for a little bit so that you can be knit with Onesimus forever. You're experiencing pain for the moment, but you're going to experience bliss for eternity. You're experiencing problems for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that should be a comfort for you and me. Because every single one of us, perhaps, have a situation like this. We have a relationship that's strained. Mean things have been said back and forth with one another. There's been no communication for years. And we wonder if there's any chance that any of this fits into God's plan as he's fixing the world. And so we come to the story with Philemon and Onesimus. And Paul has the audacity to say, perhaps this pain is for the moment. So that restoration, comfort, mercy, love, peace, joy can last forever. I pray that that might comfort you as it comforts me this morning. But as we get to verse 16, we see that the opportunity that Paul presents Philemon is to transform Onesimus' identity. Look at verse 16 again. He says, I want you to receive him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. This would have been a difficult concept for Philemon to wrap his arms around. All he knows of Onesimus is a guy who mistreated me, and he stole from me, and he's on the run. Paul is suggesting that something has happened in Onesimus' life, that he's helping with Paul in the ministry, that transformation has happened in his life. And so as Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, Paul is bringing all of this description with his letter with Onesimus. You do not look at him as a slave any longer because he's not the same guy. Something has happened. And I dare you to recognize the transformation. Philemon has the same temptation that you and I have, is to always look at people in their past decisions and mistakes. And to not to be taken advantage of because they took advantage of us and they hurt our feelings and they left us high and dry. Philemon has that temptation. You and I have that temptation. But Paul has seen the same person from a different vantage point. And what he sees in Onesimus is a hidden potential, and he wants Philemon to get a glimpse of it so that perhaps they could be mended and the gospel can be preached in this very difficult situation. So what we see in the process of mending, just like with Philemon and Onesimus, with Paul's help in the process, mending occurs when the hidden potential is noticed in all, including those who may have caused us deep pain. When I think of hidden potential, I know what you're thinking because I'm thinking the same thing. It reminds me of the reality TV show called Hidden Potential. I've been forced to watch the show from time to time. And I'm not a big fan of HGTV because they have the same disco music behind all of their shows. And it kind of drives me crazy. And I just tend to not be interested in anything they show on there. But because I love my wife, we get to watch Hidden Potential from time to time. And you may have seen this show, but it's a reality TV show where a couple has X amount of dollars for a budget for a home. And so they're looking for homes, and they're coming up empty. So they apply to the show. And the producers of the show find three houses in their area that are lower than their budget price. And then they hire this guy named Barry Wood, the guy with the MacBook in his hand, to suggest some massive renovations and the hidden potential to be revealed in each of these homes that they previously looked over. And so he would take the gap between the house price and their budget, do some amazing things within the house, and all of a sudden, a home that this couple looked over, another real estate listing that they just passed by because it didn't meet their needs and their criteria, all of a sudden, with a different vantage point and with somebody else's eyes, becomes their possible dream home. And at the end of the show, they have to pick between options 1, 2, or 3. I can see the same type of example happening in the book of Philemon. Philemon has looked over. He's got despondency and pain towards Onesimus. But along comes Paul, who looks at Onesimus and his life from a different angle. And he says, before you pass him up, before you write him off, before you forget about him, you got to see him again. Because I've seen the hidden potential in him. And you need to see what I see. And if you see what I see, what you're going to be tempted to do is to not look at him as a slave any longer, but to embrace him as a brother, as one that you can share your life with. Though you are temporarily away from one another, and at odds with one another, Perhaps God is working in this situation so that you could be together and enjoy one another forever. Without Paul's vantage point, this is impossible. But because Paul, as he witnesses what the grace of Christ has done in Onesimus, as a third-party vantage point, he allows Philemon to have the opportunity to enter into the situation of reconciliation and healing. It took some words from an outside perspective to heal the rift, to possibly heal the rift between Onesimus and Philemon. In the same way, like Philemon, we can benefit from having another's vantage point in our situations. Some of us have family situations where we can't share the room with people in our family because things have been said. It's been a long time since anything has been said. They irritate us. Even the way they talk about anything, the weather or the phone that they carry or the shoes that they wear, everything irritates us and we can't quite stand them. What we need is a third-party person who can remind us that that person that we're at odds with isn't just a collection of bad mistakes or decisions from their past, and they're not defined by the shoes they wear or the phone that they use or the way that they talk about the weather, but there's something beautiful about them that maybe we haven't seen from our vantage point. Their words can be a catalyst for our healing. But you know what we do to those voices from time to time? At least what I do with those voices from time to time, I heartily disagree. I do the yeah, but, da-da-da-da-da, yeah, but, da-da-da. And I don't listen to their words. Imagine if Philemon ignores Paul at this point. Imagine the ramifications. But Paul is a voice. God is reaching to Philemon through Paul's wisdom and through his words. And so, like Philemon, you and I need someone like Paul who can help us to see the wider picture and not just the one that we've experienced in our painful interactions with this person. Because at times, our pain is way too fresh with them. We can't see it. We're unwilling to see it. But are we willing to allow somebody else to give their perspective? To allow them to share with us the hidden potential in this person that we're at odds with, so there is a fighter's chance that perhaps we could be restored and we can be comforted again with their relationship. But here's the deal. This is where it comes down to the gospel. The truth is, we are in Christ because God saw hidden potential in his world and in us. The only way that we can dream that God could restore us with our broken relationships is to visit once again the proclamation of the early church that we've been proclaiming for 2,000 years now, that even though this world turned its back on God and no one sought after God, God saw the potential in his world and he saw his potential in us and he didn't give up even though no one was looking for him. He saw potential in us. He saw potential in this world. Therefore, he sent his son. And his son paid a price on the cross so that we can have union with God. God moved first because God was able to see the hidden potential that perhaps he didn't want to see, that it was painful to see. But he still loved his world. He still wanted to come and to rescue us. Here's a couple of verses that outline this idea of God seeing his hidden potential in us. Romans 8:32 says this, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Paul says this, if this world turned its back on God and God still gave his son, there is nothing that we can't imagine that God wouldn't give. Because he sees the hidden potential in this world. And he sees the hidden potential in every one of us. But I love what Paul says back. We go back a few chapters in Romans chapter 4. Paul says this about God. God is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. This is a God who's got a black belt at seeing hidden potential. Because he saw it in you and me. He sought after you and me, even though it wasn't our idea to seek after God. God still pursued us. And so as we meditate on that message alone, that's the widest angle that we can look at this. If we meditate on that image alone, once again, we come to a familiar punchline that we've always met here in the book of Philemon. If we've been embraced by God finding His hidden the hidden potential in us and not giving up on us, if we freely receive that salvation, we ought to freely give it to others, should we not? If God did not show contempt towards us, even though we turned away from Him, but He saw the potential in us and decided to come even though there's no evidence that we were going to seek Him, shouldn't we go to the relationships in our lives? As we freely receive God's love and grace and mercy towards us, shouldn't we go to the relationships in our lives, not with contempt, but with compassion? Shouldn't we, as the Scripture says, freely as we receive, freely give to others? That's what Paul is getting to here. God in Christ freely gives to us. Now in Christ we freely give. That's what's at stake for us this morning. With the relationships that you and I encounter that are in deep places of pain and hurt and frustration, will we allow ourselves to see this person from a different angle? Will we have the Pauls in our life, allow them to share words, encouraging words, words that are contrary to our opinion about that person, so that we might get a different vantage point and begin to experience the hidden potential in the lives of those that we're currently out of joints with. So when we honor Christ in this way by allowing our hearts to be drawn towards those who we've looked over, God drew Himself, was drawn to us even though we turned away from Him. Now in Christ, we are drawn to those whom we used to previously look over or look around or forget. We've been given a challenge not to look through people any longer, not to look around them, not to hold them in contempt, but to embrace them as God in Christ has embraced us. In every mending process, we need a Paul, someone whose vantage point, who can inspire hope in us so that we can might be able to have hope that our relationships can be restored. So I close with a couple of questions this morning. Who is God using in your life and in my life to be Paul? First off, what's the relationship that's out of joint? And who's been the person who's been trying to warm us up to the idea that we could actually be reunited with them? Who's urging us to look at them as a person from a different vantage point, not just their mistakes? Who's the Paul in your life? Who's the Paul in my life? Are we ignoring them? Are we hearing them? Because perhaps God is reaching out to us through their words. So this morning we're challenged not to deny them any longer, but to hear the words fresh and new today. But a second follow-up question, who needs you to allow their hidden potential to be noticed, not just their past mistakes, faults, and their decisions? Onesimus needed Philemon to look at him in a different light, to not just hold him in the place of his past. There are people in our lives who we've been holding in their past, holding them captive. Their mistakes, their decisions, their faults, that's who they become. They become a list of bad decisions, not people. So once again, we have this fresh encounter, this amazing dream that Paul is painting for Philemon. That perhaps there could be a day that when we embrace one another, this person that we're not reconciled to, that we could see them in a different identity. Not just their past identity that we had before, but an identity where we embrace them. As Paul is asking Philemon to embrace Onesimus, no longer as a slave, no longer as his past moniker and the past thing that he was known for, but the one of a renewed existence. Something that honors Jesus and preaches the gospel in our relationships. What I'd like to do this morning is to have Ryan and the band come forward and to bring this to a close. And I'd like us to all stand at this time and just to bow our heads and to close our eyes and to meditate on the lives of those we are thinking about this morning. When we think about being out of contact or out of touch with loved ones from our past, inevitably, we do have a dream that just as God in Christ has reconciled us to God, that perhaps we'll be reconciled to these people. I believe that we've dreamed about it. I believe that we're inching towards it as we go through the book of Philemon, as we're uncovering relationship dynamics in this sermon series. But I think some of us would suggest it is still a challenge to consider this person to be reunited with you, because these things bring up fresh wounds, fresh pain, old memories that hurt and harm and haunt us. So what I'd like to do is just simply pray a prayer of courage over our community, that we would walk away from this place with intense courage. That just as God in Christ has received us, that we can leave from this place and freely give as we have freely received from Him today. So let's just pray together. God, we hold these lives in our hearts and we give them to You. Maybe it's a brother or a sister or a former co-worker or a pastor or a leader from our past. A son, a daughter, grandson, a neighbor, a city official, a political figure, whatever it is, God, whatever we're struggling to reconcile this morning, we're struggling to find the good in that person, we're having a hard time finding their hidden potential. God, we pray for freedom this morning. Free us from the bondage of only looking so small into who they are, and allow us to have a greater vantage point. Allow us to witness their hidden potential this morning. And I pray that as we have the pause, the voices in our lives that are trying to draw our attention to their hidden potential, God, that we would not resist by Your grace. We would not resist their words. But we would receive them as a kindness. That we would trust the community wisdom, communal faithfulness, trust our friends, but ultimately trust You. Because as Paul is alluding to Philemon, perhaps You're behind it all, weaving us together, even though we're going through a temporary season of pain. Maybe this is the moment where a pivot happens and we move towards reconciliation. So God, I pray for my friends, for these fresh wounds that have been opened up this month in this sermon series. May Your comfort be there. But may Your dream of reconciliation also join us. I ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's close in worship this morning.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. For worship His holy. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord. Oh, is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever.
God, we love you so much, and we are so thankful for who you are, what you have done in us. God, that you made that first step. Lord, when we had turned our backs on you, when I had personally turned my back on you, God, you initiated love and compassion. That, Lord, I know that I didn't deserve, but you don't do it based upon my works. You do it based upon a Father's love, which is unconditional, a Heavenly Father's love. God, help me remember that as I go about my own life, as we go about our own lives and deal with different people, relationships that are strained. Lord, help us to understand that the love you have given us, that we have freely been given, Lord, help us to freely give. We are so in awe of you and so thankful for that love, that compassion, that mercy, that grace. Help us to live it out in our own lives. Thank you, God. We love you so much. We pray these things in your awesome and holy name. Amen. Well, thanks a lot for coming. God bless. Have a great week, and we will see you back next Sunday.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship his holy. Sing like never before.